Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. Tonight we're going to talk about ministry success, and we're going to talk about what the year looks like for us to have ministry success. More specifically, for you as an individual, and for myself as an individual, to have spiritual success. All right? And we're going to find this in the writing of Paul to Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Would you stand with me as you read from the Word of God? "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who also will be able to teach others. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Lance Greathouse, would you lead us, please?
Lord, we thank you for today and this opportunity to gather again today and go through your word, Lord, and explore and dig in and see what you would have for us to learn tonight, Lord. And just ask that you be with Brother Doug as he brings this message. You lay on his heart the words that we need to hear. And Lord, open our hearts to the words that we need to hear. And Lord, we thank you for so many blessings that you've just poured out on this church. Thank you for each one that is here tonight, Lord, and the blessings you've poured out on them, Lord. And we know there's many that are not with us tonight for various reasons, Lord. And we ask that you bless them as well and heal those that are hurting, that are sick, and comfort those in their times of need as well, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to just pour your blessings out on this church that we can make your kingdom a better place, Lord, and just see many more lost souls saved. Lord, I'm thankful that we had this opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve. I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship. Lord, just continue to bless us in those areas. I'm just thankful again for tonight. Lord, just remove the distractions from the room and let us focus on you and your work. This is Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning was all about getting out of your comfort zone, being willing to do things you've never done before in the coming year. And tonight, I'm going to basically talk to you about what that looks like and how that's done. And Paul does that by telling Timothy four things. Number one, he's told Timothy, "You be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's pretty interesting because Paul, the way this is presented is that this is something you do, but it's not really something that Timothy can do, okay? It is not strength that he can build up on his own or things that he can do for himself to make himself stronger. This is actually, the word to be strong there, it means to enable yourself, okay? To enable yourself or to make yourself strong. And that word grace, as it's used in this context, it's speaking of God's empowering or the outworking of God through somebody. So the idea here for Timothy is, Timothy, be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that Timothy, allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through you for others to see and for others to benefit from your ministry. And that idea, okay, is difficult to keep in mind. It's easy to forget that if you're going to be successful in serving the Lord, it's not going to be you that's successful. It's going to be God that is working through you. Okay? That's the whole concept there. It's not about what you do. It's about what God does through you. And so with that in mind, I want you to understand that whatever your ministry is in this church, if you are in music, if you are a teacher, if you are a deacon, whatever your ministry is in this church and even outside this church, If you're going to be successful, it's because God is going to work through you, through His Spirit. I have discovered something. I can study, and I do study. I study quite a lot. But I can study 18 hours a day, 6 days, 7 days a week, and still not be successful. Okay? The only way I'm going to be successful is if God empowers the messages that I preach by His Holy Spirit. You can be a deacon, you know? And you can deacon all you want to deacon. You can make every hospital visit you make and still not be effective. You can be a teacher. And you can go down the list and give all the historical facts about the churches in Corinth and Colossae and every other place. You can lay the facts before the people. And it'll do absolutely no good. You can even be a music director and sing in the choir. But for you to have an impact, it's going to have to be God that does it. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't give me free license not to study. I've heard people say, well, you know, preachers, you just open your Bible and let her fly. Yeah, you try that a time or two and see how it works out for you. It's never good. You better prepare. You know, you better study. But your dependence, my dependence, has to be absolutely and completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ making what we do successful. Paul looked at it like this. And I want to paint Paul in my mind. He's this super preacher. You ever look at Paul that way? That he had to be this guy that stood up in front of the people and just banged on the pulpit and shouted and told the people the way it was. Paul wasn't that way. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, I want to share this with you. He's talking to the church at Corinth there, and he said, when I was with you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. You know what that means? It means just exactly what it says. That when Paul was with that church and teaching that church, that he was feeble. He was weak. He was not impressive. And he was scared. Have you ever been scared in your service to the Lord? Yeah? I've heard people, you know, that preacher that preaches that first message is always interesting, you know, to watch that first message because he's scared. But you understand, if you're afraid, you're in good company. Being a bit afraid since the beginning. Paul, the Apostle Paul himself, was afraid. He told them, and my speech, my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Put it in our language, Paul said, I wasn't even fun to listen to. But he said it was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. How could somebody who was weak and fearful and trembling and literally shaking as he stood before the people, how was somebody like that so effective? It was God working through that man. And God still works through people today. Okay? And for us to be successful, that has to happen. For you to be successful, that has to happen. The reason Paul answered in that same area, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, beloved, we're not building a following. You as an individual, I as a pastor, I'm not building a following. We're building the kingdom of God. And when people come to God, we want them to trust in God, not in us. That's why it has to be the power of God. So what do? Oh, listen. What you do is you spend time before you minister and you tell God, Lord, I depend on you completely. You just don't. You do not start anything of your own self and of your own power. Even when you make a hospital visit and you go in and you want to bless that person you're visiting, you pray for the power of God to work through you before you go in that room. Because that's when you'll be effective. If you're teaching a class, you pray, you call out, you cry out, you even beg God. God, work through me to change the lives of these people. Because it's not just imparting knowledge. It's about seeing the change that the Word of God can make in an individual person's life. So point number one, we've got to lean, or we've got to depend completely upon the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Number two, he said, and the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Definition. That word commit, it means to set before or distribute. You understand what you have and the things that you know and your talents and abilities are not for you. They're for other people. Right? God has given you what you are and what you have so that you can influence and lead other people. The idea when Paul says, you commit what you know, what I've given you, Timothy, you commit this to faithful men. He's saying, Timothy, train your replacement. Train your replacement. Listen, there's two reasons you need to train your replacement. Okay? Reason number one, you will not be here forever. And you will not be serving where you're serving forever. Y'all have discovered that oftentimes God moves people around in churches. People work with youth for a while, and then they'll move on to working with adults. People work with college students for years, and the next thing you know, they're working with senior adults. We know anybody like that, Ken? But isn't it amazing what God does? You know, and Brother Ken had a wonderful college ministry, and he's got a wonderful ministry with our senior adults at Victory. You see, God moves people around. And not only does He move people around, I mean, let's face it. Again, we're not going to live forever, praise God. It's very important that you train the people who will come behind you. It's not just about today. If the Lord tarries His coming, I pray that Victory will stand until that day that Jesus does come back. And will always be a thriving, growing church. Did you know, have you ever noticed about the ministry of Jesus? Why did He have 12 disciples? Those guys followed Him around learning for 3 years. He spent time training those guys because He knew where He was headed. You, my friend, will not be here forever. And let's face it. Are you one of these people, let me ask you, that you think nobody can do it like you can? Yeah, we all have a little bit of that in us, don't we? Nobody can teach like I can, preach like I can, lead singing like I can. Or you just fill in the blank. And you may be right. You know? However, if you fail to train your replacement, somewhere down the road the need is going to arise and there's not going to be a qualified person to fill that position. And then the church suffers. And let me once again, I think I've encouraged this before, but if you teach a class at Victory, you make sure your assistant teacher teaches. Okay? Frequently. Why? Because we're going to start new classes at Victory. Now, there's going to be a need to start new classes. What are they? I don't know at this point. You know, that's not the point. But I can tell you, there's going to be new opportunities and we're going to need teachers to fill them. And if we don't train them today, we will not have them tomorrow. Train your replacement. Third thing Paul says, endure hardship. Verse 3. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word, endure hardship, it's actually one Greek word. It means to suffer together with. And Paul uses the example of a soldier. And you know, being a soldier is not an easy life. But the thing about a soldier is it's not about the soldier. If you've ever been in the military, you realize very, very quickly that the that they're not real concerned with the individual. They're concerned with the overall picture. Okay? And the idea of every individual is that every individual must do their job so that the whole army, or the whole force, if you will, is productive. Okay? When I was in the Air Force, y'all know I was an air traffic controller. But before I could be an air traffic controller, guess what I had to do? I had to go to basic training. Most wonderful time in my life. But my drill instructor in basic training had to do his job to prepare me to be a soldier in the Air Force. He did his job. Then I went on to school, tech school we used to call it, and they trained me how to be an air traffic controller in tech school. And, well, they trained me the basics of it, right? And they did their job so I could move on to the next step and actually put into practice what they trained me to be. And there was, for a long time, there was a person sitting behind me, and every time I would make a mistake, he'd say, don't do that. You're going to run two airplanes together. That won't work. And after I tried to run airplanes together long enough, I figured out, okay, you don't run airplanes together. And once I figured that out, then I began to operate on my own. But for me to get to that point where I was operating on my own, there were a lot of people that had to do their job to bring me to that point. And you know what? As I was sitting there as a controller day in and day out, I also discovered I could not do my job if the radar man didn't do his job. You see, we had to have a radar, or else I couldn't see the airplanes. The radar man couldn't do his job if the electric people didn't do their job. And it's one thing on top of another. If I didn't do my job, student pilots wouldn't get trained. And then student pilots wouldn't advance. And, you know, they were flying these little training planes today. There would be nobody to fly the F-18s of tomorrow. Endure hardship. It's hard to be a soldier. And being a soldier, if I don't do my job, there are a lot of other people who can't do their job. So if we're going to be successful as a church in 2019, I'm going to have to forget me. And when it gets difficult, I'm going to have to keep pressing forward, because if I don't do my job, other people are not going to be able to do their job. And as tough as it is, keep in mind it's not about you as an individual, or me as an individual. It's about the kingdom of God. The glorious kingdom of God. And failure of any one of us. And you say, well, Brother Doug, you're important. I'm not as important as you are. Oh, yes, you are. Every part is important. And you let that one soldier fail to stand guard at his post, and it can mean the destruction of the entire base. You are important. Don't back up. Even when it gets hard, you press forward and you fulfill the mission that God has called you to at Victory Baptist Church. Then finally, and this is probably the most practical thing that Paul could have told Timothy in verse 4. He said, and no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That word entangled, it means to hinder. And he's speaking of becoming so involved in things that the role to which you are called is hindered. That you can't do, to put it, that you can't do what God calls you to do. Now, I preached this on Sunday night very specifically, or for a reason. You may say, boy, I wish you'd preach this on Sunday morning. A lot of people needed to hear this on Sunday morning. No, it starts with the minority. It starts with us, the Sunday night crowd. Okay? Do not let the hindrances of this world stop you or get in the way of you fulfilling your mission to what God has called you to do. Okay? That's the idea here. You want to know why the house is not filled on Sunday night? It's because people have gotten entangled. You want to know why we're fighting such a competitive battle to keep our young people and to keep our teens? And it seems like on Wednesday night, you know, there was a time when no one would do anything on Wednesday night or Sundays because that was church time. And now nobody gives any consideration for church time anymore. And you know what? Children of God have fell into the trap of the world, and we've just become like the rest of them, where church has become second and third in the priority list. What's happened? We've become entangled. The challenge for Timothy and the challenge for you and I as we face 2019 is to put God back on the throne. Make Him first again. Make Him the priority. And that if there's a decision to be made and you've got to decide, well, am I going to serve God here or am I going to do this? On the other hand, am I going to do something else? And maybe I'll get back around to God later. You're being tangled. And I want to tell you what's happening. Our kids are watching. Our kids are watching. And if it's not important to mom and dad, it will not be important to your children 20 years from now. Let us be faithful and not allow the hindrances and the entanglements of this world to get in our way. And when we have the opportunity, let's encourage others in the same way. For example, I'm not telling you to ball people out and you miss Sunday or you miss Sunday night, where were you? No, that won't go over good. Be diplomatic. But when people miss, look at them and say, man, I missed you. I missed you Sunday night. I missed you Wednesday night. I missed you Sunday morning. Or I haven't seen you. Where have you been? Man, we miss you at Victory. Yeah? It goes back to step number two. Training people, committing what you know to other people. I truly believe, you know, God has blessed Victory in wonderful ways. And this church has grown in the last few years. And it's been a joy to be a part of what God has done. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if God's people at Victory really put aside the entanglements of this world and make up their mind that I'm going to faithfully serve Jesus? Can you imagine what would happen? I ask you, let's make that commitment together. Let's put Jesus the priority, make Jesus the priority, and allow nothing else to get in His way. And it starts with us on Sunday night. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share this one thing with you, okay? God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to be the sacrifice for your sin because you are a sinner and because you needed a Savior. Jesus Christ being crucified, He didn't do that for show or for glory. He did that for you because He loved you. He took your punishment. And now, He offers the free gift of salvation since your sin debt has been paid. He offers you the free gift of salvation and forgiveness through His blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. All you've got to do is call out to Him in prayer. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If not, today's the day. Today's the day of repentance that you turn away from whatever you've been chasing and you turn toward Jesus Christ. Will you come as we have this verse of invitation? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder in this message of what it takes to be successful in Your ministry, to be spiritually successful. Lord, I pray that You'll help us, that we may make You the priority, that we will intentionally train our replacements, that, Lord, we will seek You and seek Your power to do Your will in our lives and be successful in ministry. Lord, I pray that You would continue to bless Victory, that You would continue to bless with salvation of lost souls, that You would continue to bless with spiritual growth and a knowledge of You. And that, Lord, I pray that 2019 will be the best year that Victory has ever experienced. But I know it starts in the heart of each individual. So, Lord, tonight we come. And we come to make You the priority. And pray, Lord, that You'll keep us focused, keep us centered for Your honor and for Your glory. And now as we come to this invitation, Lord, I pray Your will be done. If there is one who is lost, I pray that tonight's the night for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.